This is episode number 284 of the Homeowner Show. Whether you're DIY or looking to hire, we're here to help you find the best information and options for you and your home. My name is Kevin Hackett, and here with me is Craig Williams.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Homeowner Show. We're so glad you could join us for another live episode.
That's how we know it's live.
It's choking on the irony.
Oh, I know it. You are. It's well deserved.
Oh, well, I'll take the choking. Yeah. And the boots.
Oh my gosh. We have been having an argument for the last 3 minutes, and it's Craig's fault.
But I'll take it. Yeah.
You deserve it.
I am.
So, well, you don't deserve the boots.
Clearly, I deserve the boots.
Oh my goodness.
Because they keep giving them to me.
I don't know what's going on.
Oh, maybe if somebody would respond to an email from time to time.
My email doesn't work. It has never worked in 5.5 years.
Take it up with IT.
I have. Doesn't matter.
Don't you do computers?
Thank you.
Well, isn't that your gig?
Maybe.
Just ask.
I told you I blame everything on Craig. I don't know if you have realized this yet, but I do. Speaking of, how you doing, man?
You know, the audio in my ears is weird.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but like it's like bouncing back and forth, left and right. I'm just going to deal with it because... Okay.
You can beat this.
I can beat this. It's fine. Yeah, no, it's fine, dude. Man, that is weird. It's like I have like a rotary in my head.
Weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm not. Well, because then I would just lose it on one side. So it's fine. It's fine.
Someone say he's already lost it.
Yeah.
Continue, Craig. How are you?
Who knows?
Tell us about those new boots.
No.
Those are comfy. Not the same as these AKGs that are messing up the sound in my head. So head's fine. No, head's not fine. Feet are great. Feet are great.
I'm so happy for you.
Yep. I knew you would be. Mm-hmm. So maybe they don't make them in your size.
That is a very legitimate possibility.
Do they carry kid sizes?
Exactly. That's the problem.
I will bring it up in the next meeting.
I'm sure you will.
Maybe I'll get some for my kids.
I believe that too.
All right. Dude, we have actually, the remodel on the inside is about done. Like they finished our kitchen cabinets yesterday.
I need to come in and check that
amazing.
Out.
Amazing.
Okay, cool.
What else? We got the whole inside of the house painted. And I know this is going to be a shock to everyone that's heard about our house over the years, but it's never had a vent hood over the stove.
Shocker.
So we're getting that put in.
Nice.
And then just some other stuff around the house.
Exactly. How do they put a vent hood on the second and a half floor? That's what I want to know.
Well, funny you should ask. Though it is on the second and a half floor, the ceiling is open up all the way to the third floor.
Oh.
So it goes right up to the roof.
Yes.
So it's just a straight shot.
Perfect.
Should be super easy. It'll be like industrial looking with metal pipe. And
it literally just vents out the roof.
Out the roof.
Because there's no attic.
No. No attic in my house.
No.
So.
Really?
Mm-mm. Don't have one. We had a floor safe at one point.
Oh, yeah. But that was in the bathroom.
That was in the bathroom.
Yeah.
I mean,
where else are you going to put
it? Where else would you put it?
Yeah. So.
Makes perfect sense.
It's literally the last place you would look.
Right.
Except.
Which makes it the best place.
Well, but like when we found it, it was like underneath a cabinet. Like, so you really couldn't even get to it. But it also looked like they had written the combination on the bottom of the cabinet. But that combination didn't work. So, yeah.
It's the most useless thing ever.
Yeah, we just
Does
covered.
It open?
Well, we drilled through it. There was nothing in it.
Oh, damn.
I know. It was really disappointing.
Yeah.
It was like, come on, like for just having the world's dumbest house, you could just like leave us some gold, maybe some platinum, you know.
Something.
Yeah, but we drilled through it and then we had like one of those cameras. We surveyed the whole thing. It wasn't huge.
Like they do on CSI.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
We just had it laying around. So. But yeah, dude. No, we're that's all good, and we're gearing up. When this show airs, I'll already be gone.
Yeah,
and sitting on a sunny beach.
Yes.
So, which will be glorious.
Good for you.
Excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
because haven't taken a trip in a long time. You just got back from a trip.
Yes, I did.
How was that?
Oh, it was fantastic, man. Yeah. We just got back from Disney. No, I say when I say we, it was me and my best friend. Mm-hmm. Just two people.
Y'all palling around.
We did, and it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. There was a lot of things that were just like, we're not going to do that, and it was fine. And other things that were like, we're going to do that two or three times, and it was awesome. So we had a great time. Probably my favorite thing that I had never done before that I did was eat at Raglan Road at Disney Springs.
Oh, okay.
Which is an Irish pub.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the food was awesome. The atmosphere was great. They had like Irish dancers the entire time doing jigs and all kinds of stuff. And the food was amazing. I had Bray short ribs, which some of the best ones I'd ever had were
nice.
Yours. Oh. And these rivaled them.
Wow.
Shockingly to me. So anyway, the whole trip was great. My family is really glad that I'm not gone anymore, though, because I've been gone a lot recently. But anyway, yep, nope, it's good.
I mean, you went to Disney without your kids.
I did. In fact,
it's a bold move.
The last three times I've been to Disney, I didn't have my kids.
I mean, that speaks a lot about you.
It does. It does. Actually. But the next time I take them, or next time I go, they will be with me. So that's... Congratulations to them.
Yeah, I guess so.
They can go when they have money.
That's true. I asked them if they wanted to pay for themselves. They said they didn't have any money, and so I left them at home.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
It's fair.
Yeah.
It is fair.
Well, we have one of our show's favorite guests tonight, right. If you haven't figured it out. We got Miss Christy Fennell.
There she is, in the studio, right there.
Of first-time homebuyer fame.
Yeah.
Which I think is still like our number one episode.
Is it really?
Of like all time.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, congratulations.
It's just crazy because I think I'd been an agent for not the longest amount of time.
Well, we couldn't tell.
No,
that's what it's all about.
We hadn't been podcasting that long, so what did we know?
Right.
Yeah.
So, but she and I had an interesting conversation about, you know, we have this massive amount of baby boomer population that's about to be transitioning out of. Maybe not necessarily home ownership, but out of being able to maintain a home.
Right.
You know, either health-wise or, you know, whatever. I mean, like there's lots of different reasons people choose to move out of the home they've been living in for a long time. And so we thought it would be really neat to have a conversation about that, but then also bring Sean back in to talk about what it looks like to have somebody move into an assisted living facility and then bring them both back together to have this conversation about what it looks like moving, you know, potentially your parents out of their home and into either like an assisted living, if they need it, like a nursing home, or maybe even like a senior living facility.
Yeah.
Which there's a lot of these new 55 plus communities that are popping up. And I think they even have like 65 plus communities now.
They're awesome too. You know, like, I think I want to live in one of these places. They're amazing.
Listen, I went to an independent living environment, which is, you know, it's kind of, I don't know, I guess not really a high rise, but a community. It was like the Ritz-Carlton Resort. Yeah. It was super, super nice.
Did they have an ice cream parlor?
As a matter of fact, yes.
I don't doubt it.
They do happy hour every day from 4 to 6. It's a 2-drink maximum, but you know.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. You got to get back to your room.
Right.
I mean, this place was absolutely fabulous, and you know, I told my husband, I'm like, I'd move there right now.
It's not bad, and they have instant community. Like literally, everybody's doing life together.
Right.
It's really pretty genius.
Well, I mean, I think the big appeal is like, look, when you own the house, and I get that a lot of people like hire their lawn care and things like that, but sure. My grandmother's boyfriend was like 96 years old and still mowing his own lawn. Oh, I mean, just because he was like, I'm going to mow the lawn.
Right.
And I'm like, and so some people are just like that. They're going to do the plumbing. They're going to, you know, fix the light switch. They're going to mow the lawn. They're going to weed the garden. I don't know, man.
Is he getting
he's
less
really
less?
Enjoying delegation these days.
That's awesome.
That's funny.
I mean, he tries to do it to me and I just hire it.
So
right.
So I told you I'm gonna really quick aside. I I'm going to borrow a trailer.
Uh-huh.
It's over at your dad's house. And he told me that's totally fine. But
right.
as a...
compensation?
No, not compensation. what do you call it whenever you like give someone something to
make barter?
Sure, to make sure that you bring it back?
What do you call it?
I just lost the word.
A deposit.
Yeah, like the deposit, like, you know, whatever, is I have to leave my kids with him. And I was like, wait a minute.
But do you want the trailer back?
That's what I said. I was like, you realize the responsibility that is. It's not just this, like, I'll leave my driver's license with you and I'll come back and get it type of thing. You like... They will drive you crazy.
I might not come back for kids.
Yeah, it might be the next day. It maybe, right? Exactly.
Enjoy.
Yeah, I was like, and his response was, "Sounds good. Okay, I'm definitely bringing my kids. They'll have a blast."
What he told me was that yeah, Kevin can borrow the trailer as long as he agrees to carry all the chairs down from the church attic.
Oh well, that was not part of the agreement. And aren't those your chairs?
Yes.
Okay, well, you can bring them down.
I paid for them. I'm not carrying them.
I don't doubt that. They can be shoved. Anyway, back to this deal. Okay, so it's not just senior living, assisted living. It's also like these community type places. And basically, you're focusing on an older generation of people that are transitioning.
Yeah, so I have just noticed over this, you know, the last year, couple of years, working with seniors and, you know, hitting that 55 mark, which, you know, really, I mean, in my head, I'm still 30, but
of course,
you know, I do qualify for the senior discount at Wendy's. I'm just throwing that out there. I'll never ask for it, but, you know, I could. There's a lot to think about when we start creeping into that senior age, right? And as I started working with these clients, I realized that there's just a lot that we don't know. There's a lot that we don't prepare for until sometimes maybe it's too late. Just all kinds of things. Having your power of attorneys in place, and you should always have your power of attorneys in place, right? Because you don't know what's going to happen.
You don't.
And seniors have a target on their back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, people think they can take advantage of them, and the reality is that a lot of times they can. Mm-hmm. That baby boomer generation is a unique generation. And I think, you know, also kind of the Gen X generation, the baby boomer generation, if you think about it, they took pride in going into the military, you know, that was a big deal for them. Their word meant something.
Yep.
Hard work meant something.
Yep.
Getting out there and providing for your family and just putting the work in general, it all meant something. And you know, I don't know. I don't want to generalize everyone in these later generations. But things are a little different.
So let me ask a question related to this. So when, because these older people, they need a good realtor. They have to have one. So what should they be looking for? What questions should they ask to make sure? And I know this is probably a little bit of a hit or miss, but are there some things that they should look out for when they're talking to a realtor? Because I think that what I'm hearing you say, and I know this from my own family, my own parents, I think they trust people inherently. Mm-hmm. And so it's very easy for them to enter into a relationship with someone and then feel completely loyal to that person, even if that person winds up screwing them over. Mm-hmm. And so how do they avoid that? What questions can they ask? What I guess, markers can they look at to go, this is something that you need to be careful about?
I think some of the red flags out there are maybe agents that are trying to move too quickly.
Okay.
One of the big things with seniors is you've got to be patient. You know, you really need to look at all the dynamics. Honestly, sometimes if they're in a one story, do they really need to sell that house? Mm. Or can they age in place? Mm. Can they, you know, maybe bring in a contractor and let's, you know, widen the doors and make them 36 inches so that we can get through if we need to go through with a walker or a wheelchair? Can we renovate the bathroom so that the shower is, you know, a zero entry line and we can just roll right in there? Mm-hmm. You know, in today's society, there's in-home healthcare. So the reality is that as we age, the biggest fear that many of the seniors have out there is losing their independence, right? Mm-hmm. That if you think about it, and especially for males, they've always been the provider and they've always been there to hold everything together, right? And then now all of a sudden their health is failing and they tend to kind of fall into a depression. They retire. Maybe they don't have a lot going on. They kind of lose that purpose. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times just being able to stay in place and stay in their own home just gives them that sense of security and that feeling that they just still have.
Home.
Yeah.
It's
still
home.
Have their independence.
Yeah.
I would always first look at, where do they see themselves? Mm-hmm. Do they want to go to an independent living situation? Or would they prefer to stay right there? And how could we make that work if it were possible?
Well, and I would assume, too, like you've got estates involved many times, mm-hmm. right? And so if you've got a realtor that is trying to push you without considering things like estates, like the tax liability that you might have, and how that's like legitimately many of these people are on fixed incomes. And so how is all of this going to fit in? I would think that those are questions that if you're not being asked and a realtor is not willing to like give you the time and the space and the ability to kind of look through those things and maybe even help you figure out how to navigate that even, then that should be a red flag, I would think.
Absolutely.
Okay.
If they're sort of moving too quickly, I think that if they're a seniors real estate specialist, which is a designation that you can get, that's certainly something that's helpful.
Okay. And can you just ask for that? Do you have this? Is that how that works?
Yeah. Or do you have any experience working with seniors?
Okay.
I think that, they should inquire about the family. Is your family involved? Do you want them to be involved?
Okay.
Some of them want them to be involved and some of them absolutely don't want them to be involved. Mm. But in some situations, sometimes the family needs to be involved. They need to kind of be aware.
Sure.
If the agent does not want your family involved in any way whatsoever, that's a big red flag.
Yeah.
Like why, if you say, I want to run this by my kids. Well, do we really need to run it by your kids? I mean, let's think about this. I was actually having a conversation with someone who told me that. They said, yeah, I don't really like when the families get involved. Well, why not?
Mm. Yeah.
I think it's
important. It feels like a money grab.
Right. I think that it's important. There's a lot of situations where maybe the family doesn't have the best interest at heart.
But there's ways to ask that question and ways to approach that. If you as a realtor feel like the family is being unhelpful, there's probably ways to approach that that are different than that. You know?
Right. I mean, at
the, almost have to take a second just to like recognize like what a terrible situation to be in as like an elderly adult where like your children are being predatory towards you.
Yep.
A real estate agent is potentially being predatory towards you. Mm-hmm. Like in, you know, and you probably bought your home 30 or 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just don't, I mean, like, I mean, you're almost like a first time home buyer again. You don't understand how things work now, right. You know, and you've, you know, I'm sorry, but like when you get in, it's not that you're unintelligent. It's like, this is a different thing than when you bought your home 30 or 40 years ago and you've grown accustomed to how things are. And so it's easy to be taken advantage of, especially when you don't have anyone in your corner.
Right. That's right.
So another question I've got related to that is, can you fire your realtor?
Absolutely.
Okay. I almost feel like we need to give people permission to do that.
Right.
Right. I mean, especially in this podcast where we're talking about, you know, people that maybe they trust and they're loyal to, like, you can fire your realtor.
Yep.
Way into the process even.
Yep.
Way deep into the process.
As long as you're not under contract.
Yep.
You can fire your agent and you just say, I want to terminate the listing agreement. This isn't working out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
I got news for y'all. It's Texas. I can fire anybody.
That's true. Exactly right.
That is true.
I'm obviously being a little silly, but like, I mean, it is true. Like in Texas, like even if I have to tell clients this all the time, like you have a contract, so fire them. Mm-hmm. You're unhappy, fire them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Make them have recourse.
Yep.
Make them come at you because they're not gonna.
No.
Right.
It's not worth their time.
Yeah.
And if your agent's being unethical, you need to report them.
Sure.
I mean, at the end of the day, unfortunately, there are way too many real estate agents out there who are not ethical. There right. just are. And you know, for whatever reason, you know, they thought it was going to be easy money. They thought, you know, whatever they thought.
Yeah.
But the reality is that I think that people do need to do their research. They need to look at reviews, make sure that they have reviews, ask them if they have any, you know, do you have anybody that I can call and check you out, right?
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to ask for referrals. Yeah. And it's important because when you sell that house, there are so many things that could go wrong. And you need somebody that you can trust that is going to have your back. I mean, I had a client who had evidently been poached by this investor for the last 2 years. And he knew everything about their family. He knew everything about their kids. And when her husband passed, she wanted to sell to him because she felt that, you know, he had a relationship with her husband. And, you know, it kind of fell in with the whole grieving process of trying to want to do right by him. So
You mean she felt like she was honoring her husband?
Correct.
By
selling it to this particular
person that had already invested in their family and
right. he knew all about him and, you know, and he promised that he would sell the house to him. All right, fine. So we do. Well, turns out he was not a good person and sold the contract and basically was a wholesaler, which isn't illegal. But it does have to be disclosed, and it was not disclosed. And so basically, when you're a wholesaler, you can go under contract. So what they had done was they go under contract with us. So he says, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy it from my wife. So, of course, my client's feeling a little special because her house that she loves so much is going to go to this wonderful human and his wife. And turns out that he honestly, in the same day that we signed that contract, turned around and sold the contract to someone else, to a group of investors who then marketed the house for $60,000 more than what we sold it to him for.
Wow.
To other agents.
Naturally.
And they were going under contract. And the plan was that they would sign on ours and then turn around the same day and sign on the other one and make 60 grand. It's legal if it's disclosed. Mm-hmm. Because it wasn't disclosed, and I found out about it as people were meandering through this house. He was strongly advised to terminate the contract that we had, or we might be seeking legal counsel.
Mm.
And yep. So he did.
Good.
And you know, then we sold it to the agent that he was selling it to out from underneath us for $60,000 more. So
how about that?
You know, there you go.
But there again, like having a realtor that knows what they're doing, knows what they're looking for, is watching out for you, is so very important. So do your research, do your homework, ask a lot of questions.
Yep.
You don't have to trust people just because they seem very nice.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Just because they're nice. I mean,
here's the other thing though, is like when we're dealing with situations like this, I feel like it would be advantageous to parents and their children to have an agent that has access to resources.
100%.
Because most of the time I would imagine, and you can probably speak to this, is like we're probably dealing with people who are embedded like ticks, you know, and are going to need help organizing, who are going to need help packing. Like they're not in their 20s and 30s anymore. They're not going to be stuffing cardboard boxes and loading them into trailers themselves. They're going to probably need like a moving company. They're probably going to need packers. They're probably going to need organizers. They're probably going to need cleaners. There's probably stuff that needs to be done to the home in order to get ready to sell. I mean, there's going to be so much that needs to happen, which is why I think there's probably a lot of people who are getting, I hate to use the word like predatory, but like, These reverse mortgages that they're pushing on elderly people now. You know, good old Tom Selleck is out there pushing these reverse mortgages, saying like, look, it's so much easier. You can just use the equity in your home to get a paycheck every month to add to your income so that you don't have to leave your home. You can stay in your home and access the equity and then just move on with your life and stay put. Because staying put, honestly, probably is just so much easier mentally.
Right.
For these folks. And so, but I was doing a little bit of research about these reverse mortgages. Have you guys like read up on these or done like looked at? I mean, because I've seen a lot of ads for them. That's what got me curious about it. And they're obviously like targeting older people by using people like Tom Selleck and the Fonz,
right?
To tell people what a wonderful thing
Magnum PI.
Yeah, like and one. Here's what I learned is one with these. If you own the home outright, you can only access like 65% of the equity in your home. Two, the interest rate is almost double.
Jeez.
On what they're, you know, like how they're paying it back to you.
Right.
And you're still responsible because like with a traditional mortgage, the property taxes get paid out of the escrow.
Right.
That goes away.
Mm.
You're now responsible for the property taxes and everything else that comes along with owning that property. So, and people can get these without owning the property outright. You just get less benefit on the payout month to month. And you can set them up to where like it's a single payout.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So like you can do it where it's like a lump sum.
Wow.
Or you can do it monthly installments, or you can set it up as a line of credit where you can just access it at any time. But like when you access it, that's when the interest kicks in and you only get some of the money. So like you say, I don't know what the interest rates are, but say you need $50,000. Well, you say, okay, I want to draw $50,000. So you might only get like 42.
Right.
And so like, they're really weird how they work. I listened to like a rant by Dave Ramsey.
Then you're probably going to have to pay taxes on top of that. Like there's probably all sorts of ways.
I don't know if there's income tax on it.
I don't know.
That's an interesting question. I don't know that there is, but like, who knows? I mean, it could be like capital gains tax. If you get enough money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And if you don't have it homestead, I mean, like this particular client, they had four houses and none of them had a homestead on them.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and so we're losing money there.
That was the other thing I learned is you can only do that on a primary residence.
Oh yeah. It's gotta be where you've got your driver's license.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I don't know.
Better put it on the biggest one.
Absolutely. Which is what we did. luckily that's where our driver's license was. But I don't know a whole lot about the reverse mortgages. I know that they have changed a lot. I know that it goes through an FHA program now.
Well, yeah. There are certain ones. Again, like I'm kind of like you. I know just enough to get myself in trouble.
Right.
There are certain ones that are federally backed.
Right.
And then there are others that aren't.
Correct.
So.
We need to get a lender in here to set us straight on these reverse mortgages because I'm curious as well.
Mm-hmm.
Here's
what I'm curious about on these is, I'm interested in talking to both because I would suspect because of the way that these are set up that there's not many lending people that would speak ill of them because it seems like the commissions on them are really good. And I'm not trying to say that all brokers are unethical. I'm not saying that at all. Right. I'm just saying it would be difficult for some of them to speak ill of them because they're such a good product for them.
I'm wondering because I talked to a couple of lenders about them.
Uh-huh.
The two that I asked,
uh-huh,
both brokers and both said, I don't really know enough about, I don't, they didn't really
didn't
deal
know
with
about
them.
Right. Okay.
Spoke to one other actually this morning. He was telling me about that he had spoken to his parents about doing reverse mortgage, which, you know, you figure if he's telling his parents about it, there must be something positive in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I am very curious about it because I know they've changed it. Now, I know back in the day it was definitely not the best avenue to take.
Right.
And I think that it has to be the right product for you and where you are,
mm-hmm,
you know? But for some people, it could be, I mean, if you are planning to age in place and, you know, you want to retire, you don't want to make any more mortgage notes.
Yeah.
This is an opportunity to be able to do this. Let's say you don't have any extended family. Maybe you don't have kids.
Yeah.
What do
it's going to be a more and more common thing.
Absolutely.
In the near future.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of people not having kids. I know you can't even do them. I think you have to be at least 65. Is it 62 or 65?
62.
Is it 62?
I believe
62 sounds right.
Yeah.
We could be wrong. Somebody correct us. But I know you got to be in your 60s, somewhere in that neighborhood. I can conceive of a situation where it would be beneficial.
Right.
I mean, like if you're in your 70s and you've just been diagnosed with a terminal disease and you've got, you know, 2 to 3 years to live. Like here's a way to get some extra income to cover
Absolutely.
Your expenses, you know, especially right. if you do have kids and you don't want what you're going through to be a burden on your family, mm-hmm, and you need to pay for extra care because maybe this is not something you planned for. Here's a way to get some extra money.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
What I don't know is what happens when you pass away.
I mean, and that's a great question, right? Like, does the house go, do we sell the house and
because technically they don't own the house anymore. From what I understand, what's happening is they're allowed to live in the house until the money is paid out.
Wow. That sounds terrible.
But wait, what happens they don't ever kick you out though.
No, from what I understand, they can't kick you out, except, and this was the other thing that I learned, is if you don't maintain the property and or you don't pay the property taxes, mm-hmm, they can foreclose on you
right.
without paying out.
But then you can become a squatter and,
that's true.
And just stay there.
Yeah, just make sure you do it in California.
Listen, who's gonna kick out the senior person that's... technically in,
you know,
their
the
home.
Way things are working right now, they'll be way quicker to do it to the senior person than they will the person that
you're
squatted
so right.
because of an Airbnb.
You're not wrong.
You're so right.
We're get us started on squatters. Sorry.
We're still getting comments. Like somebody dropped a line about that gal that we talked about in California squatted on that dentist. And they were like, yeah, we've heard she's done this like 3 or 4 times. I'm like, we know.
Hello. Yep.
That's nuts.
I know.
It is. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, you have some property like that, right? I mean,
I have an Airbnb, but I've not ever had a squatter. That would be terrible.
That's what's happening to people is like they have an Airbnb and someone rents it for like the weekend and then they just never leave and they can't get them out. And it's like 2 years later and they've trashed the place.
I don't understand how you can't get them.
The stories that we have on these is one is a guy that had like an Airbnb and the gal wouldn't leave and he called the authorities and the authorities like, no, she has squatter's rights. Yeah. And like through weird circumstances, she had squatter's rights. And it's gotten so bad now, Florida, DeSantis just ended squatter's rights in Florida because it kept happening. And he's like, no, we're not dealing with this Florida. So he just got rid of squatter's rights altogether. The one that blew me away was the guy that got shot at by the people squatting in his home when he tried to like come to the property. They shot at him. He jumped the fence, called the cops. The cops arrested him for trespassing.
On his own property.
On his own property. Yeah. That's how nuts it is.
Yeah.
I'm curious, why are there squatter rights in the first place?
Well, like, it has to do with the castle law. And it has to do with the idea that where you are is safe ground. So like the idea is like, I don't know
that it has to do with the castle doctrine. I think that's a different thing. That's like a self-defense thing. The one that I think that's coming into play is,
maybe I just talked about it wrong.
Was it? Well, cause castle doctrine is about self-defense.
Okay. So it's not that, but it is about, what is the other one called then?
I don't know what it's called, but it's trying to protect tenants against oppressive landlords who will create dangerous and unlivable situations in order to push people out of buildings.
Like, for example, living spaces. If they cut off their electricity without their knowledge, or if they, you know, stop paying a certain something. Like, there are things that landlords will do to make the house unlivable, just push them out, and now they don't have to evict them because they left.
So I'll just give you like an easy example. A kitchen in an apartment building becomes infested with cockroaches. And the tenant is able to show documents after document after document of complaining about the cockroaches. And then the landlord receiving those documents and complaints about the cockroaches, doing nothing in response, but then also raising the rent to make it, putting pressure on the tenant to get them out because they want them gone. Mm-hmm. So that they can then clear the cockroaches out and then charge double. So this became like a big problem in New York, which is why you have like people who have apartments that they can rent for like $500 a month. And then next door, someone's renting it for like $5,000 a month because someone's been there for 40 years and they have rent control. So it's all that kind of weird stuff that's put in place in order to protect people so that landlords can't intentionally do things to make it so uncomfortable to push people out of buildings and rental. And so like there's an aspect of it. You're like, okay, that makes a little bit of sense. Like
are tenants. They're not squatters.
Right. Right.
Like they had a right
You rationalizing this with like common sense? Right. Because if you are, then we need to actually take a break.
But talk. What it ends up being is taking like a good idea and turning it and manipulating it into a loophole for bad people.
Right. So now, Kevin, technically, we could just move into Craig's house.
I've already been thinking about it. He just renovated it.
Right. So let's wait till the renovations are done.
My kids still live there. You guys will be gone in a week.
That's a good point.
Yeah, that is a very fair point.
Yeah, and I promise you they're not leaving.
Right. They're scrappers.
Yes.
I'm an empty nester. I'm not.
Especially that little one. She's not so little. I think she's bigger than me, to be honest. Oh man. Well, I don't know. Like I know we derailed there for a minute, but the problem is that this really kind of is the same type of thing. It's taking advantage of situations that look, I think this is the problem when we should just live in a society that people are nice and good.
Right.
But we don't.
Nope.
We just don't. And so because of that, if you are out there and you're in a situation where you're looking to sell your home, move into another facility, whether it's a assisted living or a nursing home or 55 and alive type place, whatever. Like,
did you say 55?
I did. You know what I'm talking about.
I'm 55, so be careful over there.
Congratulations, you qualify.
Hey, ask for that discount at Wendy's. Do what you got to do. But like, if you're looking to do that, just make sure that you aren't being taken advantage of. And here's the truth. Assume that you are.
Yeah.
Assume that you're being taken advantage of until you get to the point where you're confident that you're not. Mm-hmm. And I think that there is a point where if you're being realistic with what's happening, you're probably not feeling right.
Right.
Like, it's a gut feeling and you're probably right about it. Just look, there's somebody else that can help you.
Yep.
You know how many realtors there are in the world?
There's 1.5 million?
There's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot less than
We might be down to like 900,000 now after the whole lawsuit thing, but yeah, we were at 1.5.
There's still a lot.
So there's still, you can still throw, you know, a rock in a room and hit 12 real estate agents.
There you go.
Well, you know where you're not going to be taking advantage of?
Bring it and tell me.
Our newest sponsor.
Yes.
Texas Solar.
Talk to us about them.
Dude, let me tell you. So I've known the CEO now for several years, and we've done, if you guys haven't been paying attention, we've done several shows with these guys. We're excited to bring them on as a sponsor because they do an incredible job. I think a lot of people are super suspicious about solar.
Oh, of course.
Because there's so many, like exactly what we're talking about, there's so many people willing to take advantage of people to put an expensive system on a house and then not actually do what they're going to say or say what they're going to do. Mm. Is that what it is?
I don't know.
I always get that mixed up.
I don't know.
Anyway, they're going to be honest
about
putting solar and how it's going to work and is it going to produce the amount of power that you need to accomplish the power needs for your home.
Yeah, because we've talked about this multiple times about how there are plenty of solar people out there that are going to sell you a system that they can put up quickly, move on to the next person, and it probably isn't going to actually do for you what you need it to. They're looking to take your money rather than actually help you.
Right.
And there's a big difference in a system that costs, you know, I don't know, like X amount versus X times two whenever you actually really need X times two. Like, that's one of the things that I really appreciate about True Texas is they've got people on their staff that are meteorologists.
Yeah.
That are like engineers that work for NASA.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I'm not joking. People that truly know what they're talking about. And they've done that on purpose.
To do make, the math.
Yes, they can. to make sure that the system that they're providing you is what you actually need. And they're also like diving into the commercial realm because there are some really, really amazing commercial opportunities out there. So whether you're a residential owner or a commercial owner, I would highly recommend if you're interested in solar, it's not going to hurt anything to have a consultation. Give them a call. It's 936-286-8325. That's 936-286-8325. Give them a call. Schedule a consultation. Josh is awesome. He's going to help you out. And at the end of the day, you won't know until you have a discussion, right?
Right. Yeah. And this show is also brought to you by our longtime sponsor, Lone Star Appliance Repair.
That's right.
Yeah, the company that has literally saved my life on a couple of different occasions.
That is true.
Me too, actually.
Oh, really?
Oh, absolutely. What'd
they fix for you?
They fixed my dishwasher and my washing machine two times at my Airbnb. And let me tell you what, the one thing you don't want to go down at an Airbnb is the washing machine.
Oh, big time.
Like, that's got to work.
It has to.
So
yeah, because you can't get new people in until the linens,
everything's clean.
Well, not only that, I mean, like, you usually have a housekeeping service that comes in and changes the sheets, and they got to have the machine to do that. And if the washing machine's not working, you're just down.
That's right.
That's right. So, and they get out there, and they are out there quick.
Oh, man, those guys are awesome.
Look,
they are
great. Here's the thing, guys. We're not just telling you about a company that we are sponsoring the show so that you should use them. I mean, here's three people that have used them.
And I don't even know. I don't even know these two in the room. So
that's right. Exactly.
They didn't pay me for this.
That's right. That's exactly right. And so I think that's one of the great things about a company like Lone Star is they're going to take care of you, and they're going to be the type of company that you can recommend to a friend, which is exactly what we're doing right now.
Yeah. And I'm on their website right now, and they list all the brands that they work with. I mean, you can reach out to them through the website. It's actually, I think it's a new website, so go check that out. You can reach them at 936-647-2364. I know they'd love to hear from you. Let them know that you heard about them on the Homeowner Show. They'd love to hear from you. Also, I mean, like, you know, maybe you just got a noisy appliance. It just needs a little tune-up.
Do it.
So yep. Give them a call.
That's right.
Christy, because I know in this whole process, usually kids get involved. Mm-hmm. To some degree, form or fashion, like, they're either talking in the parent's ear, they're actually physically on the ground. Like, what is it that parents, or not parents, but the kids should be looking for their parents as they're moving them on to a new place? I mean, I would assume one story is going to be best for them. I mean, like, but what are some other, like, key features in proper, you know, if we're not moving them into, like, assisted living, nursing home, or something like that, what are some key features that we need to be looking for in a property that's going to best suit people moving on into their golden years?
I think the most important thing is that we just have to realize that as we get older, maintenance are things that we can't take care of, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the
and
biggest.
And shouldn't have to.
And shouldn't have to. Oh, we shouldn't have to do it now, really, but that's just me. But so maintenance is the biggest thing, and that's the biggest issue that you see when you go into homes where, you know, maybe a senior couple has lived there their whole life, mm-hmm. you know, which is like almost everyone in my neighborhood. and so they've lived in these houses for decades, and it reaches a point where they truly just, they don't even notice or forget that the air filters need to be changed or
good point.
You know, and so
don't it's need just, to be on a ladder to get to them anyway.
They really
if,
don't
if they're up high. Yeah.
And so it's just basic things that they're not going to remember to do these things as time goes on. And, you know, granted, yes, you can have, you know, set up some sort of a maintenance service to get those things taken care of. But ideally, if they can move into something like maybe a condominium where those items are taken care of, or, you know, you mentioned earlier that you want to find an agent, or you want to find people that have resources. And that is huge. And that's really something that I've spent time on, and, you know, have been involved in some great networking groups, which, mm-hmm. you know, is where we originally met, and just getting some vetted people that you trust that have ethics and morals, and being able to introduce them to those people. There are people out there that will help.
Right.
In terms of maintenance. You also need something that they can easily get around in inside. So not a bunch of walls, right? This open concept is excellent. The new gen homes that are out there. So now they've got these houses where Lennar, I believe, is one of the first builders that had put these together. And basically it's kind of like a duplex.
Okay.
So you've got, you know, maybe you've got your senior parents next door, you know, maybe you've got your college age kids, or older kids, if you're not me, because I probably wouldn't have older kids unless they were in college living with me. But So these homes are great because it's smaller on the one side, mm-hmm. but they've got their own kitchen, their own living room, usually one, maybe two bedrooms.
It's like a mother-in-law suite almost, yeah. but it's
they've got their own door yeah. and they've got kind of their own little
even.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that gives them that feeling of their own personal independence, right? Yeah. You guys can, we can separate. But then you're also close enough to be able to help them out.
Yeah. I mean,
so
we did this.
So that's
I
an
mean,
option.
It was different than that because we had a whole separate house built. But, I mean, what, 100 yards from my house right, is yeah. my mother-in-law, and she's got her own place. But we're right there. And,
right.
And, you know, she's 73 years old. She's very, very mobile. I mean, goodness, she's probably stronger than I am, but she's awesome. But there will come a point whenever she needs more help. And so I do think that finding a way to live near other people, mm-hmm. whoever that is, that you can trust and you know are there for you, whether it's family or a community, it's very valuable yep. to have that.
So. Absolutely. Absolutely. But we're seeing it more and more these days, right?
Yeah. Are the homes you're talking about like where they're more joined together though, right? Where you
yeah,
have
it's
like,
yeah, it's yeah. like a duplex, so it's one house, and it's a next gen home, and so you've got basically two generations living, it's basically a duplex.
Yeah,
I actually had some friends build one like that. It was more of like an upstairs downstairs kind of a deal where like they had like a. What do you call them now? Primary suite?
Master suite? I don't yeah, know. There's two get, masters.
Get,
is
get
what
your
we,
word.
Yes.
Yeah. Get your words right. Don't be offensive.
I'll be offensive. Hire gorgeous. The guy that's unoffensive, and then I'm going to fire him.
Do not say the word master.
I know. But yeah, it has basically there's two primaries, big bathrooms. Mm-hmm. But the difference is it's not just a primary. It also has the kitchen.
Right.
Or a kitchenette.
It's a whole little
apartment.
It's
got its own laundry facility most of the time mm-hmm. and those sorts of things. Like, it can be completely separate. But it's also got a door into the other room.
Right.
Or the other part of the house, I should say, and those sorts of things. So.
Well, I know when we have, I mean, a long time ago when we had Sean on, I mean, that was the whole reason he bought that big house oh, in yeah. downtown Conroe, because it basically had like, it was like six or seven primary suites
right.
in the whole house that he was able to convert for assisted living.
Yep.
But when he comes in now, I know he's going to be talking about his new space on 1488. And so we'll be able to kind of put all this information together. We'll have a conversation with him and then get you guys together to kind of see like, what does it look like to actually move them out of the house and into like an assisted living facility? Cause that can be challenging.
We did that yesterday. That's fun.
Oh yeah. Especially like for him, I mean, like I know one of the things that they specialize in is memory care. Mm. And so like you're usually dealing with special situations
yeah.
when that happens. And I've you know, hung out around enough of the residents to know it's, I mean, like, and know a lot of their staff, and they are amazing people because those are challenging people.
Yeah.
Sometimes
it is challenging,
but they do love on them very, very well. So that's part of the reason we want to talk with him. I mean, because I mean, one of the things I'm going to bring up is this documentary that I saw. Let's see, where was it? It was a PBS documentary called Life and Death in Assisted Living, which specifically went after the assisted living community. There's apparently like a huge one. Oh, what's it called? There's a big corporation that keeps buying them out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And there was like a huge, it was like a, I think it was like $800 million they had to pay out for like a fine.
Really?
For some stuff. And like the whole documentary starts off with these two daughters whose dad, was left unattended in the assisted living facility, ended up drinking like some industrial dish cleaner that just burned his whole face off and ended up dying from it. And it was, and like, you know, obviously they're pointing towards, well, it's always the same thing. It's like the evil corporation wasn't paying attention. They right. weren't doing the things that they were supposed to do. And so this bad thing happened.
Yep.
And now you need to be afraid because it's going to happen to you too. Which, you know, like, look, guy shouldn't have been wandering the hallways, sure. shouldn't have been unattended. He had dementia and, you know, yeah, they should have been held accountable for that. I need to finish watching it, but like it's a documentary that came out 2 years ago on PBS.
Wow.
And so there's a lot of bad PR around this. And I think because of that, we're going to have the children of, you know, these baby boomers who are going to be hesitant to use assisted living facilities.
Yep.
The assisted living facilities, you know, I've had a senior ministry now for about 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And
which, by the way, is why you were perfect to even have this conversation, because like you're kind of on, you've seen both sides of it. You're from the real estate side, but you've also been working in this ministry.
Right. And it's sad, you know. None of them really, in terms of like the big corporate assisted living, and I don't want to group everybody into this category, but just a large percentage of them, staff is impossible to get. It's impossible to hold, so it's constantly turning. I've gone in there during Christmas, where we were going to have a Christmas party, and brought Christmas presents for all the residents, and nobody got to get out of bed because they just didn't have the staff and the people sitting behind the desk. The aides, you know, were too busy on their phones to be able to get anybody out of bed to go to the Christmas party. And it's sad. It is. Yeah. It's really sad. So, I think that people really need to be aware of what's out there and ask the questions, you know, what is your staff to patient ratio or staff to resident ratio?
Well, and this is another reason that like you need a realtor that can take care of you and get the most out of your property for you, because, you know, the place we're going to talk about with Sean, it's not inexpensive.
Nope.
No.
It's expensive. And so
That's actually one of the things they harp on in this documentary, is these assisted living facilities can cost, you know, upwards of $7,000 to $10,000 a month.
A month.
The one that we're putting this client in is $6,600 a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you really need to be able to get the most out of your home.
Yep.
And so, you know, you don't want to leave 60 grand on the table.
No.
Whenever someone's coming in and taking advantage of you.
And you've got to be able to look at the big picture too, right? So is the house completely dilapidated, where really it doesn't make sense to put any money into it? The best option that we have is to sell it to investors. Mm. Or, you know, are we in a situation where the location is fantastic, the house needs to be updated, which is very common, mm-hmm. in a home that someone's lived in for 40 years. Does it just need some light updates? And now we can get an additional $100,000 out of it, right?
Right.
Put 40 in, get 100 out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you need to have an agent that is seasoned enough. And by seasoned, I don't necessarily mean, okay, they've been in the industry for 20 years, right? Sometimes I think that's not always, that doesn't, in my opinion, depict whether or not an agent is good.
Sure.
It is, you know, what is their background in general? What brokerage do they work for? What kind of support system do they have? Who are their mentors? I mean, there's a whole lot of things that go into whether or not somebody's a good agent, but just get with somebody who's going to give you options, not just, oh, this is what we need to do. You know, this is the ticket. Let's get it on the market. Let's sell it. Boom, boom, boom. I'm done. They need to take the time and really look at what are all the options. What does it look like if we age in place? What does it look like if we renovate to sell? What does it look like if we sell to an investor? Mm. You know, and which one is going to get me the most amount of money? And each person is going to be different, right? I mean, like your mother mother-in-law, mm-hmm. 73 years old. She is in great condition. She's doing great.
Yep.
You know, right now, there's no reason why she can't be at home and, sure. you know, doing her own thing. My client, also 73, stage 4 Parkinson's, congestive heart failure. So
she needs some help.
Chronologically, she's 73, but functionally, she's closer to like 85, 90.
Yeah.
So, you know, her life expectancy, we're looking at best 5 years.
Right.
So now, and so I've got kind of people in my toolbox that I've got a senior advisor that I work with that helps to place seniors in homes. So I would get with her and she'd kind of be able to say, okay, this person would be great in independent living, or no, maybe they need to go into more of an assisted living environment. You know, but you need to work with somebody who has resources.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Well, and just, I mean, because we have you here, I mean, like what kind of, I asked this question sort of knowingly, but I would imagine as people put their parents' houses on the market, there's sort of an expectation for the amount of money that they're going to be getting for those houses. And I would imagine that has been diminished somewhat over the last year from what people are expecting. I still talk to people who have like COVID high around here. I mean,
it depends. You know what?
I know it depends on the property, for sure.
It depends on the area, right? If you go over into the Woodlands, it's multiple offer all day long.
Still.
Absolutely. I mean, and they can ask for the money because they can get the money.
Is that anywhere in the Woodlands or is it like pretty much all over?
It is anywhere in the main Woodlands area. I think if you cross the freeway, which is still technically considered the Woodlands, like Oak Ridge area, it may
falls
not,
off a little bit.
Yeah, it may not be quite the same.
What's the other one that's like just north of there? It's like that one is technically the Woodlands. It's
Harper's Preserve.
Harper's Preserve, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that one, I don't know that one is still kind of commanding the same kind of
attention
as, well,
that's because nobody wants to drive down 242.
There's that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, like the main Woodlands.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very difficult.
Is it different in spring in Conroe though? Like on the north and southern boundary there? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the average days on market right now is about 60.
Wow. Okay.
You know, 45 to 60. That's average.
That's pretty par for the course. I mean, yeah. Like
historically, sure.
You know, to me right now, it really is kind of a great market because I feel like it's somewhat balanced. And again, different areas are going to be different depending on where you are. So that it's not specific to one area, but in general, I think it's kind of a good market. Like I'm not seeing that houses are having to drop substantially off of asking price, assuming that you had an agent that
was realistic,
right? Or a seller that was realistic. I mean, a lot of times the sellers, like you said, you know, they've just got this pie in the sky number.
Yeah.
And the reality is you can list your house for whatever you want to list it for. I personally wouldn't probably take it on as a listing because my goal is to sell every house within, you know, 30 to 45 days, really try and do it 30 and under.
Yeah.
But the only way that's going to happen is if it's priced right. And if it's priced right, it's going to sell.
Sure.
Yeah. Or if it looks right.
Or if it looks right.
Yep.
I mean, you can, like, again, you can price it whatever you want. If it looks like crap, you're just not going to sell it.
No. I mean, you'll sell it, but it's got to be priced appropriately.
Yeah.
Everything will sell if it's priced right.
Yeah. Well, it's all got to appraise the right way and everything. That's, you know, that's just part of it.
Which is the reason why you need to price it right to begin with.
That's right.
Because if you, let's say that you price it super high, some person out of California comes with their bag of cash and they're ready to buy it. If they want it to appraise and and that's a stipulation for them, that might be a struggle, and why put yourself through the drama, you know? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Well, anything else we need to cover before we get out of here? I mean, I know we got two more episodes of this.
We have two more episodes, and yeah, there is so much to be learned.
Yeah,
I'm really looking forward to getting you and Sean on in the same studio here to
absolutely.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's a great topic, and it's an important topic
for sure.
And you know, my goal really is to be able to educate not just the seniors, but also the children of the seniors on just, you know, how can we protect them? How can we make sure that they have the means to be able to get whatever medical attention they may need going, you know, in the future?
Yeah.
There's just so much to be learned from financial aspects, you know, insurance, Medicare. Oh my gosh, that's a whole nother topic
that
you've got to be careful of. But there's just a lot out there that I think as we grow older, we just need to be very aware of. Don't ever cancel your traditional Medicare, by the way.
Mm.
Just don't do it.
Yeah. Well, this is actually why I think elderly folks are more susceptible to predatory practices, because, you know, it's not easy to plan for the end of your life financially. Like, you just don't know, you know, and unless you just got like mountains of cash, you know, it's difficult to know what you're going to have to, and what you need to hold in reserves, and what you need to be spending now, and how to set all that up. And I think there's a lot of people that get into like their mid-60s and just sort of realize like, I didn't do enough.
Right. Oh yeah.
You know, and so then you become susceptible to some of these
scams.
Yeah, exactly. Where like, hey, we can get you money quick.
Yep.
And like, but at what price? Mm-hmm. You know, and what sort of situation is that going to leave you at if, you know, if you sustain into your late 80s and 90s?
And that is exactly what's happening. We are living.
We're living longer.
Much longer.
So
we've got to prepare to be able to survive that long.
And to that point, we have financial advisors who haven't been trained to prepare people to be living that long because all of their clients have lived much shorter lives up until now in recent history. So like they can tell you they know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing because like they don't know how long you're going to live.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's complicated, and you know, it's I try and talk to guys in their 20s and I try and encourage them. I'm like, look, if you can develop some sort of financial discipline now, mm-hmm. where you are putting away more than you're spending, like you're going to be so much better when you get older. You're going to feel better. Your anxiety is going to be lower, like because you're going to have something set aside for that rainy day. And I'm not just talking about when like the brakes go out on the car. I'm talking about like when you're 85 and like your kids have all moved on. I mean, like there are situations now where like we have parents outliving their children, of their children, and then having to figure out what to do.
Right.
Because, you know, like, let's face it, when you get that old, like the parents become, the children become the parents.
Right.
So it's a whole bag of worms. But anyway, I really appreciate you coming in and talking about it.
Because
I know you've had a lot of experience with this recently. And we want to make sure and get as much information out to people as possible, because it's not an easy topic that a lot of people are talking about.
Right. Right. Yep. Well, I appreciate you guys having me out and bringing this topic to life, because it is important, and it weighs heavy on me, just to try and educate people. And, you know, that's kind of all we can do is let people know, like, got to be educated.
That's it.
Yep.
Well, thank you everyone for listening to the episode today. And, we hope that you've gleaned some information. If you know someone who needs a realtor, we know one that would be great. And
old farts and the first time buyers.
That's right. She'd love to talk to you.
That's right. Yeah, I like that. That's a great tagline.
There you go. Well, thank you all for listening. Please leave us positive rating or review.